THE PRINCE AND THE PAUPER by Mark Twain. Hugh Latimer, Bishop of Worcester, to Lord Cromwell on the birth of the Prince of Wales, afterward Edward the Sixth. From the National Manuscripts preserved by the British Government. Right Honorable, Salutem in Christo Jesu, and Sir, here is no less younger and rejoicing in these parties for the birth of our Prince, whom we hungered for so long, than there was, I trow, inter vicinos, at the birth of S.I. Baptista, as these bearer master events can tell you. God give us all a grace to yield a due thanks to our Lord God, God of England, for verily he hath showed himself God of England, or rather an English God. If we consider and ponder well all his proceedings with us from time to time, he hath overcome all our illness with his exceeding goodness, so that we are now more than compelled to serve him, seek his glory, promote his word, if the devil of all devils be not in us. We have now the stoop of vain trusts, and the stay of vain expectations. Let us all pray for his preservation, and I for my part will wish that his grace always have, and even now from the beginning, governors, instructors, and officers of right judgment. Ne optimum ingenium non optima educatione depravitur. But what a great fowl am I, so what devotion show many times but little discretion. And thus the God of England be ever with you in all your proceedings. The 19 of October, yours H.L.B. of Worcester, now at Hattlebury. If you would excite this bearer to be more hearty in the abuse of imagery, or more forward to promote the verity, you might do good. Not that it came of me, but of yourself, etc. Addressed to the Right Honorable Lord P. Seal, his singular good Lord. Dedication to those good-mannered and agreeable children, Susie and Clara Clemens, this book is affectionately inscribed by their father. The quality of mercy is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. Merchant of Venice. I will set down a tale as it was told to me by one who had it of his father, which latter had it of his father, this last having in like manner had it of his father, and so on back, and still back, 300 years and more, the fathers transmitting it to the sons, and so preserving it. It may be history, it may be only a legend, a tradition. It may have happened, it may not have happened, but it could have happened. It may be that the wise and the learned believed it in the old days. It may be that only the unlearned and the simple loved it and credited it. Chapter 1. The Birth of the Prince and the Pauper. In the ancient city of London, on a certain autumn day in the second quarter of the 16th century, a boy was born to a poor family of the name of Canty, who did not want him. On the same day another English child was born to a rich family of the name of Tudor, who did want him. All England wanted him, too. England had so longed for him, and hoped for him, and prayed God for him, that now that he was really come, the people went nearly mad for joy. Mere acquaintances hugged and kissed each other, and cried. Everybody took a holiday, and high and low, rich and poor, feasted and danced and sang and got very mellow, and they kept this up for days and nights together. By day London was a sight to see, with gay banners waving from every balcony and housetop, and splendid pageants marching along. By night it was again a sight to see, with its great bonfires at every corner, and its troops of revellers making merry around them. There was no talk in all England but of the new baby, Edward Tudor, Prince of Wales, who lay lapped in silks and satins, unconscious of all this fuss, and not knowing that great lords and ladies were tending him and watching over him, and not caring either. But there was no talk about the other baby, Tom Candy.